If you would, please turn in your Bibles over to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12, and this is after one of the most familiar chapters within the book of Hebrews. We know that Hebrews chapter number 11 was the hall of faith, as we would call it. And Hebrew chapter number 12, summing up from where that left off, and we'll start reading in verse number 1 down to verse number 2, and I'll lay out a few things here that the Lord's laid upon my heart for this evening. And before we begin, let's go ahead and we'll start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this time you get to allow us to gather together as your people, be able to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Thank you, God, for the songs that have already stirred our hearts, being able to worship you, Lord, be able to sing praises to you, God, for you are so worthy, so deserving. And Father, I pray that you would anoint me now. Touch me, Lord, as we bring the message tonight. Lord, I pray that your hand would be upon me, that you would use me for your glory. Speak to the hearts of each and every person here. Lord, for those who are saved, may you draw them closer to Jesus Christ. May you touch their hearts through the message. Lord, help them be conformed to the image of your Son. And for any that may be lost here tonight within the service or maybe listening online, Father, I pray that you'd help convict their hearts, help them to know their need of Jesus Christ for salvation and to know that he is the only way and he is the truth and the life. And may they be converted. May they be born again this evening for the day is the day of salvation. And Lord, I pray that your hand would just touch their hearts. And Father, may you get glory out of what is said and done. I pray that we would not be hearers only, but that we would be doers of your word. It's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen and amen. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 1. And the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And so we know that as this has come off of Hebrews chapter number 11, Hebrews chapter number 11 talking about just the faithfulness of God's people and faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we also know that God says that without faith it is impossible to please him. And so he's given a list here of just people that have faith in God. They believe God and they trusted God. And that faith produced a work inside of them. And it produced an action to where they would go forth in doing God's work and God's will. And we see here in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 1 and 2, it says, "Wherefore..." And this is coming after Hebrews chapter number 11. And so we know that wherefore is there for a reason. It is saying that in continuance, as we are continuing on, as we are talking about, speaking of the previous chapter, and it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." And so we see, first of all, I want to point out, number one is get rid of your weight in verse number 1. The Bible says that as we are running the race, we are to run a race with patience. And God says that we are to let loose of all these weights that are dragging us down and the sins that so easily beset us. And we are to lay them aside so that we can run our race with perseverance, with endurance, and be able to get to the line, the finish line that God has laid out before us. And so we know that we've got to lay aside these weights. Anybody that has ever run in a race or ran in an event or ever just raced around your property with your family or your children, I know our boys love to run and love to race and they love to race daddy and they're still trying to beat me, but I can't let them win. So I just got too much pride in me, I guess. But anyway, so Enoch loves to race daddy and he loves to try and beat me, but here's the thing. God says if you're going to be a runner, if you're going to run this race, you've got to lay aside those weights that drag you down. And any runner knows that you cannot run a race with weights. You've got to be as light as possible. You've got to try and be as light as a feather. They even make shoes that are almost like foam. It's like you're stepping on clouds. You've got nothing. And those shoes are made for running to where you don't have weights on your feet. And so we know that we are to lay aside all those weights. We as Christians are to get rid of those weights, those sinful things that drag us down, that hinder us, that causes us to stumble along the way in our Christian race for the Lord. We've got to get rid of those weights. Anything that is a sin in our lives that is attaching itself to us is just going to leech and suck the life out of us and keep us from running the race for the glory of God. And we're not going to be as far out as what we could be, or we're going to get astray and get away from the will of God if we don't keep sin and keep it out of our lives. In Psalm chapter number 51, verse number 10, David says this. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." David had messed up. David had done something terrible in his life with Bathsheba, and he's trying to tell God, "Lord, I'm sorry. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. I want to get right. I want to repent. I want to turn from that. Turn unto you and go in the right direction." And you know, that's the same way for us. God says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But before that, He says, "Little children, I ask you that ye sin not." He said, "Do not sin. Don't go about sinning." And even Paul says, he says, should we sin that grace may abound? He said, "God forbid." We should not sin. We should get rid of these weights. We should let go of these weights, lay them at the cross, and get victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so he's given us the victory. Anything that we drag behind is of our own choice, of our own free will. And God says that He has given us the victory over sin. So He said, get rid of your weight. Lay it aside. Every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. He said there's sins. There's going to be weights that you're going to come along the way that are going to drag you down. Weights could be something that might not be as sinful. Weights could be something that could be just time consuming. Weights could be something that is distracting. How many distractions do we have in our lives with technology and different things that distract us on a day-to-day basis? Facebook is a waste of time a lot of the times. It's a distractor, and I'm not preaching against Facebook, but I'm just saying that there are so many things that are distractions within our lives that causes us to not be able to run our race for the help of the Lord, for the glory of God. There are things that may be just weights that aren't necessarily sinful, but they can become sinful. They can become weights. They can become idols in our life. And God says, lay them aside, get rid of them, and then the sin. So get rid of your weight in verse number 1. Continuing on, God says, stay in the way. He says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Notice that word set. That God says He has defined a way for us to go. He has defined a course. He has made it available to us. And He says we are to stay along that course, along that pathway. God says we are to go along the narrow way, leaving behind the broad way, the way of the world. Be ye not conformed to this world. And don't be partakers of the things of this world and the fleshly natures of them. But God said we are to stay in the way. We are to run with patience the race that has been set before us. What are our guidelines? What is our map? What is our lamp right here? God says He's created a way to get through the darkness. God says He's created a map for us to be able to follow along. That He says that if we lean not upon our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct our paths. God gives us a promise that if we are trusting in Him by faith and not in our own understanding or our own knowledge, He shall direct our paths. And so He says, continue on this way. What is the way? Jesus is the way. Follow, keep your eyes upon Jesus. And it even says in verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, how fitting that is that Jesus said, there's a course that is set before us, there is a way. And then God says, in order to follow this way, we are to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus said, I am the way. If we just look unto Jesus and keep our eyes upon Him, we won't get away from God's will or God's purpose within our lives, and we will have our course set before us, and so we got to stay in the way. Even Jeremiah said, ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And but there is the people there were rebellious, and they said, we will not walk therein. Let's not have the heart of those people that would say we will not walk therein, but ask for the old ways, ask for the old paths. Where is the good way and walk therein? The scripture that is relevant whenever God first penned down these words from Genesis to Revelation is relevant to us today, and we are to mind this word. We are to keep it stored in our hearts that we might not sin against God. And God says, this is the way. This word is not outdated. I've heard some preachers say it in time past. It's more relevant, it's more fresh, it's more updated than the newspaper you read today. It is God's word, it's alive, it's living, it is continuous, and it speaks to us on a day-to-day basis. We've got the way, we've got the map, we've got the light right here. Stay in the way in verse number one. In verse number two, we see focus on the word. And I already kind of mentioned this a little bit, but going on along with this, it says focus on the word in verse number two. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, the word there was just for alliteration. If you notice, I've said, get rid of your way, stay in the way, focus on the word. But who is the word? Jesus said, I am the Word. And the Bible, John said that He was the Word. He said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was Jesus Christ. He was manifest in the flesh. And so Jesus is the Word. And God says we are to look unto Him. We are to focus on Him. We are to keep our attention, our mindset, our gaze on Him. Jesus said that if you love me, keep my commandments. And He also said that if we are to love Him, we are to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, everything about us, all conformed, all going the same direction towards God. You know, if we've got our mind distracted or our mind not set on Jesus Christ, we're not loving God with all our mind, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. God says He wants everything. He doesn't just want bits and pieces of your life. He doesn't want just your heart or just your mind or just your strength or just your soul. God says, I want everything. I want all your devotion upon me. And that's how we're going to stay in the way. That's how we'll stick on the straight and narrow. That's how we'll get to the finish line. And as Paul said, I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. And so we have got to make sure that our focus, our minds, our eyes are set on Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He was the one that started it all, and He was the finisher. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. He is the beginning and the ending of the Greek alphabet. He is the beginning and the ending of the world. He was there as God spoke the world into existence through the Word of God. And so Jesus Christ was there. He is the Word. Focus on the Word. The Bible says that. And brother, is this for me? I'm not sure. Okay. I'll take a quick drink here. Isaiah 50, verse number 6. Jesus said, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. You know what Jesus did? Jesus did exactly what we should do. The Bible says He endured the cross, despising the shame. He went to the cross knowing what was laid out before Him. And though He wept, and though he sweated great drops of blood, and though He was there agonizing before He was getting ready to drink that cup, He said, I've set my face like a flint. You know what that means? His face is solid. His face is set. It's unmovable. It's unshakable. He's unchangeable. He said, I am looking at Calvary. I have set my face like a flint. They cannot shake me. They cannot move me. And he said, I am going to that place to die for the sins of the world. And Satan cannot hinder him. That was the place he was going, and he was going to fulfill God's word. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And whenever he hung upon the cross and gave up the ghost, the Bible says that right before that he said, it is finished. He had completed. He had done exactly what he came to do. He had fulfilled God's word in every jot and tittle and everything he had done that pleased the Father, and he set his face like a flint. The Bible makes mention of the joy that was set before him, that he endured the cross. Do you know what the joy was that was set before Jesus Christ? It was us. It was the church. It was his bride. He said, I see the future. I know what the future beholds. I know one of these days the bride shall come unto me, and though I'll go away for them for a short time, I'll send the comforter unto them. But one of these days the church is going to be raptured out of here. We're going to get to enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to get to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior. And so Jesus said, I set my face like a flint. He was unshakable, unchangeable, unmovable. And that is how we should be as we look unto Jesus. As we are running this race, we should set our faces like a flint towards the finish line, towards our Savior, watching Him, keeping our eyes set upon Him. You know, there's so many distractions in the world today, so many things that are going on that if we're not careful, it could allow us to get in the flesh very easily. It could allow us to get out of walking in the Spirit very easily. It could take our eyes and focus off of Jesus Christ very easily. But let us not remove our gaze. Let us make sure that we are walking in the Spirit, and let us make sure that we are doing what God wants us to do. We need to focus on the Word in verse number 2. In verse number 3, the Bible says, or for alliteration, point number 4 is don't grow weary. In verse number 3, the Bible says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And so God says, don't be wearied. Don't grow weary. And consider Christ. Consider the one who has already endured this, who has already come through it. And he said, be ye of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Jesus Christ had overcome the world. He had already gone through the temptations. He was tempted in every area just the same as we are, but he overcame. He was victorious, and thank the Lord for it, because what hope would we have had he not been victorious, had he not overcome? But we should consider him that endured contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, in the Christian life, it could be very easily to allow our minds to become weary, to become overburdened, to become overwhelmed. One of the biggest fights and one of the biggest battles that you'll have is not necessarily with the devil, but it's with your own self. It's with your mind. It's with who you are. And you fight the flesh, and you fight it on a day-to-day basis. And we've got a war going on in our life, and we've got to fight a good fight. But God said we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. We can overcome our flesh. We can have the victory. We need to consider Him, and don't grow weary in your minds. Racing can be wearisome. Running in a race can be wearisome. I know, because I used to run back in high school. I used to run track and cross country, and it can become wearisome, but you've got to put forth the effort to practice. You've got to practice. You've got to get out there. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to pray. You've got to make sure that you're keeping up to date with the walk of God, making sure that you're getting your joy of the Lord, which is your strength. Make sure that you're getting your Word of God, the bread of life, the living water, talking to God and fellowshipping with Him. We've got to have that, or we're going to spiritually starve. We've got to make sure that we are not growing weary. We've got to have that consistency in our lives, in our walk with God, in our race for the Lord. And so don't grow weary in verse number 3. And this, my last point is point number 5, and I just want to spend a couple minutes on this. Listen to the witnesses. Listen to the witnesses. In verse number 1, the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, God makes mentions of these witnesses, and I believe that these witnesses are coming from chapter number 11, where the Bible talks about the faith of those that have gone on before, and as this text has been written, it is saying that we should consider those and know that we are compassed about. Compassed about meaning to be surrounded, meaning that they are watching us, that there is a cloud. Cloud meaning as they are gazing over us, a cloud of witnesses. Wherefore, we are compassed about. You know, whenever you're running the race, you've got those that are your home team. You got the ones who are on the outside, on the sidelines, who are cheering you on. You got those who may have raced their race before you. Maybe parents or grandparents or coaches who have gone through their races in their younger years, and now they're cheering you on to tell you to run your race and to tell you to go fast and to work hard and to get to the finish line and to do your best. And so we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And I believe that this is talking about those in chapter number 11 who are watching in and they have gone on before, and God says we should consider them. We are being watched by this great cloud of witnesses, those who have gone on before. And I don't know what it's like up in heaven, but God talks about some of these witnesses here. And if they could cheer us on, if they could tell us today to finish our course, to keep the faith and to run our race, what would they say? What would those who have gone on before? We could think about Adam and Eve. We could think about Abel and Enoch. And we could think about Noah and Abraham. And we could think about Moses and Samuel. And we could think about David and Joseph and Rahab and Samson and all those that the Bible mentions here in Hebrews chapter number 11 that had gone on before us and telling us to keep on keeping on. Don't quit. Don't finish the course. Don't stop now. We've got a race to run. And that's what I'm trying to encourage you tonight, that we've got a race. We've got to keep the faith. We got to continue on with the help of the Lord. We've got a grace that is set before us, and we've got that cloud of witnesses that if they could tell us, if we could hear their voices, they would say, don't quit. Don't give up now. Even as Paul said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. We've got to keep our faith. We got to keep the course. You know, you got your home team, you got your home crowd that is cheering you on there, and then you've also got the coach that would be cheering you on. And as we would run the race, and as we would go around the laps on the track, you know, we've got the coach there who had trained us, who had practiced with us, who had taught us exactly the way to go. And you've got the coach who is cheering you on and saying, don't quit now. Don't stop. Keep on keeping on try and finish the race. And you know, if we can make a comparison here, you've got a pastor. You've got a shepherd. You've got one that looks over you, and as he's looking over the flock, as he's watching you run your race, as he's trying to push you forward for the Lord, you know what he's saying? Keep on keeping on for the Lord. Don't stop. Don't quit now. You've got a race to run. We've got a course that is set before us, and we've got a shepherd. You've got a pastor who is telling you day by day, message by message, Sunday by Sunday, and Wednesday by Wednesday. He's up here preaching his heart out, letting you know, don't stop, but keep on keeping on for the Lord. And then not only that, not only do you have your coach, but there'd be sometimes, and a lot of times, that I would have my parents who would be there in the crowd, and they'd just be watching, and it'd be my family there, and they'd be cheering us on, you know. And as I would be getting ready to round up the final laps, and you'd have your coach, and then there stood my dad. You know, it's special to have your coach there cheering you on. It's special to have your home team cheering you on, those that have run their race before, your coach, you know. But then you got your dad, your father, who is there cheering you on, who is saying, don't stop, son. Don't quit now. Don't give up. Even if you may stumble, even if you may trip or fall, get up and finish the race and do your best and get to the finish line and run for that race and try and do your hardest. And, you know, we don't just have an earthly father, but we've got a heavenly father. And could I tell you what he may be saying to us today is to keep on keeping on. Don't stop. Run your race for the glory of God. Keep on keeping on. Finish the course. Cross that finish line. You know, if we could look back in time, if we could have been there when Stephen was stoned. Stephen was getting ready. I mean, he was being stoned, and And the Bible talks about how his face shone like an angel. And he says he got to get a glimpse up into heaven before he's getting ready to take his last breath. And as those stones were flying at him, and as he looked up into heaven, the Bible talks about how he saw the Jesus standing. I wonder if Jesus was standing up. And I'd say this is what it was like, saying, "Come on home, son. Come on home. You're getting ready to cross the finish line. Keep on keeping on. Run that race. You're almost finished. Cross that finish line, Stephen. You're right there." And he's welcoming him home and he's saying, "Good job. Good race. Good run, Stephen." You know, I want that. I want that at the end of my life. I want to be able to look and be able to see Jesus Christ standing up and saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want him standing up and cheering me on and saying, "Well done, you finished the course, you kept the faith." We all want that, don't we? We all want Jesus Christ. We all want him standing up, cheering us on, saying, "Come on, cross that finish line. You're almost there. You're almost there." You know, we live in the last days. We live in the days when we know that the church is going to be raptured out of here. One of these days we can be called home. You know, now's not the time to put it on cruise. Now's not the time to say, "Well, I'm just going to kind of coast here. I'm just going to kind of slow down in my race a little bit. I'm just going to kind of wait it out and just see what the Lord does." And, you know, COVID and everything has kind of put a damper on soul winning and different things. No! Now's the time to run the race, the hardest we've ever run. Now's the time to do our best. We know the finish line is up ahead. And when you see the finish line, that is the time that you kick it. That is the time that you know that you got the finish line. You may be coming around that last turn. You see it up ahead. You see the goal line. And you know you've got to beat those other guys that are beside you. But we're not racing for a corruptible crown. We're racing for an incorruptible. We're racing for the glory of God. And God says, "There's the finish line. Don't stop now. Keep on keeping on. Don't quit. We've got a race to run. Be faithful to the very end. And it's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth it all." As we have, Pastor, I'm sure you would like to come up and give an invitation here. But let us be faithful. Finish the course. Keep the faith. There's a day coming very soon, when we'll get to look into our Savior's face and get to see the one that we were running the race for, and it'll be worth it all, Pastor.